Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My next guest is one of the best when it comes to fantasy. You get great fantasy information on his website, footballguys.com. And we get Sigmund up all the time to talk about the National Football League. Sigmund Bloom joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Are you ready for some football, Mr. Bloom?
I am, Jody. And, you know, we felt some adrenaline from the last 24 hours. And we saw some destinies of players and teams and coaches, you know, maybe change. I think, Jody, really when we look at the biggest news from yesterday, that trade that Houston made, that's kind of the other shoe dropping from Andrew Luck's retirement. Maybe it's Houston acting in a way to know that their window is open right now.
That's what I said. And people have been second-guessing the Tunsil trade. Yes, they screwed up the Jadeveon Clowney thing. They could have traded him last year. They could have held on to him. There were several different ways they can play it. The way they played it, I don't think, was very good. But when you add Laremy Tunsil and Stills, who is a above-average wide receiver, and you don't give up anything from your current team, you can't tell me you didn't upgrade and become a better team.
Well, and why shouldn't Bill O'Brien, coach slash GM, bet on himself? I mean, if this doesn't work in 2 years, they're turning the page anyway. So give up those resources, mortgage the future, because if they can just get past that first, second round of the playoffs and convince themselves, while Deshaun Watson's on his rookie contract, then this will all look smart in hindsight.
I tend to agree. All right, how much does Seattle help itself with the addition of Clowney?
Oh, it's fantastic. And speaking of not giving up any important part of your team, Jody, we were thinking a starting offensive lineman, you know, Justin Britt or Effetti. We were thinking somebody that was a contributor to the offense, maybe even Rashad Penny, a second-round pick, not a third-round pick. So they are going to get a compensatory third-round pick next year if they let Clowney walk no matter what. So they really just got him for free, especially when you factor in that Houston's putting part of the bill.
Paying half of the salary, yeah.
So they now have someone, if they can just keep Ziggy Ansah healthy, they now have the pinchers on the edge of that pass rush after trading away Frank Clark at the top of the market. You know, John Schneider played this market perfectly, and they're going to get Jerron Reed back after six games to give them more pass rush punch inside. So this team's in the mix. You know, Jody, every year we see another NFC team bubble up to the top. Why not Seattle again this year? There are players there, especially Russell Wilson, who know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl.
Understood. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, speaking of bubbling up to the top, that's what the Bears did last year. I find that the most intriguing division in the NFC, because just personally, I think the Eagles are better than the Cowboys and certainly better than the Giants and the Redskins. I think that the Saints are better than the Falcons and the other two teams in the South. That division seems like it's kind of hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
You never throw out Rodgers. The Vikings had an off season last year. Maybe they're better for it. I like their defense a lot. We got to see what Kirk Cousins does in year two and if Dalvin Cook can stay healthy. But the Bears won that division, and everybody else is trying to beat them. Are they going to do it?
I would consider them the favorites, but only the slight favorite, Jody, as you're alluding to. There's good stories here for everyone. Aaron Rodgers has the weight of Mike McCarthy lifted, and they certainly added a lot to that defense in the offseason. Detroit has year two of the Patricia program. Daryl Bevel's in there. That should be an improvement in their offensive deployment, even if it is somewhat simplistic. They've got some continuity on the offensive line. I think we're still waiting to hear about that Frank Ragnow injury, but they got Mike Daniels. Let's not forget that. They got Trey Flowers. They got Justin Coleman. I mean, they improved their defense. Minnesota has the Kubiak-Dennison offense now, which could, and the offensive line has improved, so that could help their problems from last year. And then, of course, there's Chicago. I guess Chicago, Jody, it's going to come down to the kicker, right? They kept Eddie Pinheiro, so we'll see if he makes it. That may be what's holding them back in the long run.
I usually like a kicker with the first name Eddie because it's got to be easy Eddie, right? So we'll see if it is easy for them in Chicago. All right, one other NFC team I want to touch on because they truly sit right in the middle for me. I acknowledge that if everything goes right, they're a playoff contender, or if one specific thing goes wrong, they could be looking at a 4-win season. How do you grade out the San Francisco 49ers coming into the year?
Ooh, well, it seems like there were some aspirations in training camp and preseason that weren't met with this offense, with the wide receivers, for instance. But we know that Kyle Shanahan will keep this offense viable and that Jimmy Garoppolo should be better than Nick Mullins. On the other side of the ball, though, you know, can Nick Bosa stay on the field? Can they find a way to get value out of all these first-round picks that they've thrown at the defensive line, not to mention the pick they used to get Dee Ford? There's still a lot of instability in that defense. So they go out week one against Tampa, and I think they get Cincinnati week two. They should be 2-0 after those two games, Jody. If they're not, we'll have a pretty good idea. And, hey, Kyle Shanahan and maybe even John Lynch are feeling some warmth under their seats.
Well, bet. I agree with that. We talked about the top. Let's talk about the bottom. We talk about it much more in the NBA, the tank.
Right.
Specifically putting together a roster that isn't competitive and you're okay with losing a ton of games to get a high draft pick. It's a bigger problem in the NBA than it is in the NFL. But I think the Dolphins have gone to new lengths this offseason, and specifically these last couple of days, to make themselves a less viable team. Is that an acceptable way of going about building a football team?
It is, if you understand that as a head coach, really, and you don't let a losing culture take hold. You don't start to expect to lose. And you use, you know, Jody, all these guys are playing for their careers. We're reminded on Cutdown Weekend. They're playing for their careers every game, really. So that should be motivation enough. In addition to, hey, I suppose Brian Flores has looked around the room and can already tell these are some players that I feel like we can build around, and these are some players that maybe we're not going to build around. So why not cut to the chase, especially with Kenny Stills and him going head-to-head with the owner, and accelerate the process. Ryan Fitzpatrick will help keep them semi-competitive, but they're going to be as bad as Arizona was last year. So maybe this is just something that follows Josh Rosen from team to team.
That's where I was going next. Fitzpatrick got the start for week one, but they've even doubled down on the whole, we're not worried about winning games this year. If that's the case, I don't really understand why Fitzpatrick is even starting week one, other than they already made their decision to do it. How long is it going to be before Rosen takes over?
It may, Jody, just be a case of not wanting to expose Rosen too much to opposing defenses so that he doesn't have his confidence ruined. So I think we can see maybe Fitzpatrick taking those starts really to save Rosen punishment, but they have to see what they have in Rosen. You know, they should be picking first, second, third in the draft next year. And Rosen, remember, Arizona ate that signing bonus, so he's a really cheap backup quarterback, and I'm sure he is suitable as a – we're not talking about Paxton Lynch here. He's suitable as a backup quarterback, at least at this point. So he's still an asset. Just how much of an asset, maybe based on how much punishment they save him more than how much they let him progress in this offense.
Sigma Bloom here with us on CBS Sports Radio for footballguys.com. And if you go to his website, they do a ton for you on fantasy football. Most drafts have probably already taken place. Yeah. Some may come down tonight or tomorrow or the day after. I actually think that's the way you should do it, but people's availability, you got to do your draft when you got to do your draft. For those who aren't drafting yet, and Ezekiel Elliott is not signed by the time a draft takes place, how high do you roll the dice and take Zeke?
I won't talk people out of taking him first, honestly, but I would certainly say take him fourth or later. Absolutely, if he's still there. Jody, I know the Le'Veon Bell situation was a worst-case scenario, certainly for those of us in the fantasy industry that were saying, this is going to go like last year, Bell's going to show up and play the whole season. But this feels more like the classic holdout. I'm sure, Jody, you can remember when the play was always to fade the holdout. No matter what the team said, no matter what the player said, they were going to show up. Even Emmitt Smith showed up two games into the season. And I think that's still the angle here. This is the best offense Zeke has been in. Kellen Moore could make it into the 21st century, actually, with some of the weapons they have and tactically things they haven't been doing with Dak Prescott. So I'm excited to have Elliott. And if I have to improvise, if I take him in the first round, maybe I take Tony Pollard a few rounds earlier so I know I have the Dallas starting running back. Maybe I take Duke Johnson, who I know is the starter for now for Houston, or the better running back for Houston, to make sure that I can sweat out a few weeks while Zeke makes up his mind.
Do you think Duke Johnson's going to be the number one guy over Carlos Hyde in Houston?
Yeah. Look, Bill O'Brien, the GM, again, gave up a fourth-round pick that will become a third-round pick if Johnson plays 10 games. He gave up Martinez Rankin, a player he was about to release for Carlos Hyde. So I would imagine it dawns on him that he sees Johnson as the more valuable player, and he, of course, is the chess master for the offense. Plus, Duke Johnson's just a good player. In fantasy football, sometimes we have to get over coaches who don't see things clearly at first. Bill O'Brien certainly scares us that way, but I trust Duke Johnson.
Do you also agree with me that Damian Williams is still the man in Kansas City, despite the fact that Andy Reid and Shady McCoy have as much of a history together as they do?
So by the man, I would say he's the first. He should be the first Kansas City running back you take. Now, I might have taken him in the third round yesterday. I might take him in the fifth or sixth round today because they did not sign LeSean McCoy to ride the pine. Now, LeSean McCoy might be used up, and the games could reveal that in a short order. But this Kansas City offense could also be so good that even a washed-up LeSean McCoy will look good. So I think this is going to be a split backfield. I would take Williams before McCoy, and I would start Williams over McCoy week one, and then we have to pay attention.
Understood. It used to be easy with the Patriots. If you're going to take a Patriot guy who's going to get the ball thrown with him, thrown to him from Brady,
yeah,
it was Gronkowski because he's right up there as the top tight end, one of the top tight ends, if not number one. No more Gronk. I'm not sure how the wealth is going to be spread in New England. How would you rank, rate, and draft their receivers?
I would take Josh Gordon first of the over Edelman because he and Tom Brady had excellent chemistry, excellent efficiency last year. And in the games that Gronkowski missed, Gordon averaged, I believe, over 90 yards and had about five catches a game. And if you get those kind of numbers from him on a weekly basis, he's a value in the fourth or fifth round. Edelman takes a little bit of a hit here just because of another credible target. James White takes a little bit of a hit here. Look, Sony Michel is going to catch more passes out of the backfield since he actually was healthy enough to practice in training camp. So he may be the first Patriot you should take, period, even ahead of Gordon.
I've got Kelsey Ertz. Ertz, Kelsey, put him 1A, however you want to rank him. I won't argue if you go one over the other. And then I think there's a pretty significant drop-off to the third tight end off the board. Who should that be? How significant is the drop?
It's George Kittle, and I might even take Kittle second, Jody, just because of all of those receivers in San Francisco underperforming this summer. So he's the number one. He's that rare tight end who's the number one target in his pass offense. With respect to Ertz, I would say, hey, Dallas Goedert looks pretty good. He might take some more targets away. I also really like O.J. Howard down in Tampa.
I like Howard, too. This could be a big step-up sophomore season for him. Agreed. There have been a little activity at the kicker position these last couple of days. So some people just disregard kickers, and you're going to take your kicker in the last round, next to last round, with your defense, whatever else. Is there somebody that either moved teams or you think is being vastly underrated as a kicker? Because I've won leagues before because I had far and away the best kicker in the league, and I think people from time to time undervalue them. Either go to the top as to who should be number one or a guy who you think is underrated you can get in the middle of the kicker run and still end up with one of the best guys.
Well, first of all, Jody, thank you for that. We're traditionalists. Hey, kickers matter in football, so they should matter in fantasy football, too. Even if how they matter is just randomly you lose and randomly you win because of your kicker, that's how it feels to the teams. I like Adam Vinatieri in Indianapolis because with Jacoby Brissett, I think you'll see more field goal drives than you had with Andrew Luck, and this will still be a team that is competitive. I like Matt Bryant down in Atlanta, 11 games indoors this year, a great offense. I like Chris Boswell in Pittsburgh. He was one of the top fantasy kickers a few years ago before he lost his confidence. He seems to have his confidence back now.
That's pretty damn good. Sigmund, good catching up with you, brother. You know we'll talk plenty when the season gets underway. Thanks for hopping on today. Good luck with your fantasy teams this year.
Oh, same to you and your listeners. I appreciate the opportunity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.